Stunning as well is where we are from the first Monday of November, which is a changed world for Washington. Zach Cohen has been of huge value to us with Bloomberg government, like Greg Giroux, of just parsing it out. Greg, I want to really move away from Georgia, which is, you know, in the last 12 hours, old news. And I want to go to David Joyce in Ohio, who asked a deal. And I love what Paul Kane says in the Washington Post. He says, the headline here is great. Everybody's a Joe Manchin. Zach Cohen, for David Joyce trying to herd moderate Republicans in the House, how many Joe Manchins are in the House after these election results?
Well, there's a number of Republicans that, for instance, flipped seats that had been held by Democrats or had favored Biden by as many as 10 or 15 points. Those would probably be the first that I would look to. There's obviously there's people like the Dave Joyces of the world, the Republican governance group head, or the Problem Solvers Caucus with Congressman Josh Gottheimer and Brian Fitzgerald, Fitzpatrick, excuse me. And so there are certainly some sort of centrist Republicans that haven't really been able to flex their muscles in an era of unified congressional control by Democrats, but in a divided Congress and in a narrowly divided House, you could certainly hear more from them, because McCarthy, if he is Speaker, will certainly need their votes really to get anything done.
How does he do that? I'm fascinated, Paul, by this, and this goes back to other speakers here. Zach Cohen, how does Mr. McCarthy straddle the press moments we see with Mr. Trump and MAGA, if you will, with the world of David Joyce of the 14th Congressional District of Ohio?
I mean, that's really the multi-trillion dollar question at this point, because they will have to pass government spending deals, a debt limit hike. There's a number of really key priorities that are going to be coming before Congress in the next 2 years.
Yeah.
And it's trying to find bills that, you know, both the House Freedom Caucus and the Problem Solvers Caucus can both agree with is going to be very tricky. I think look no further than how difficult it was for Democrats to reach an agreement with a 50-50 Senate, where you did have people like Senators Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema really sort of putting their thumbs on the scale for their priorities.
Yeah.
And certainly behind the scenes, progressives did the same thing. And so it's not, you know, it's not impossible that
right.
could happen for Republicans as well. But certainly if folks are looking to make a show and really press the advantage, this is their opportunity.
Right. Paul, surveillance correction. Mr.
Okay.
Cohen misspoke. He said it was a multi-trillion dollar question. No, that's why the Red Sox didn't top tick the Yankees
exactly.
for judge.
Did not get the,
that's what
did
it
not
is.
Get judge.
That's the multi-trillion dollar
question. Zach, you know, here the day after the election in Georgia, What's the feeling in Washington about where the Republican Party goes here as they start to gear up for 2024?
I think it's hard to underestimate just how bad of a cycle this was for Republicans, even with flipping the House, really because of the ability, you know, redistricting certainly gave them a couple of seats, and even only some of the Democratic incumbents they unseated were because they were running in districts that were substantially different than what they had previously represented. Our colleague Greg Giroux found out that this is the first election in the history of the direct election of U.S. senators that no incumbent senator has lost re-election, Democrat or Republican, and obviously most of them were Democrats this cycle. No incumbent party has lost a single Senate seat in a midterm election since 1934. It was the Great Depression the last time an incumbent party was able to hold on to seats like this. So I think Democrats are pretty ebullient. We should expect to see Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer taking to the mics in just a couple of minutes, touting their wins, and he's going to have to get behind closed doors with Republicans pretty soon and figure out how to rejigger a whole host of Senate committees. They're going to have to start having real majorities for Democrats, not the 50-50 tie that's been on these committees for the last 2 years. It's going to give them a lot more leeway, not just on procedural questions, but they can even afford to lose a vote on the floor now. You know, you could see a new FDA nominee, for instance, somebody who maybe couldn't get 50 votes last time, but, you know, now can afford to lose a vote and still get confirmed or a bill through the process.
So what do we expect from President Joe Biden here? Are we going to have something from the Democratic Party? I mean, a real pivot here to get behind Biden in a big way, because it still feels a little uncertain.
Yeah, I think we're still waiting for the sort of official declaration that Biden's going to run for a second term. I think it's what everybody sort of anticipates at this point, especially after a historically good midterm cycle. But certainly the Democrats are more and more saying, yes, I expect Joe Biden to run, or I even want Joe Biden to run. But if you've got somebody at the top of the ticket that is presiding over a political environment where you are able to buck historic trends like that, you don't just throw that out willy-nilly. Yeah. So I think certainly Biden's got a little more spring in his step probably than he did a couple of months ago when congressional Democrats were wrangling over trying to get large parts of his agenda through.
So who is going to be the Speaker of the House?
I think Kevin McCarthy still has the
inside
track.
See how rude he is? Zach, continue.
I think Kevin McCarthy still has the inside track. Okay. I think the key question at this point is if he can get it done on the first ballot. There hasn't been a multi-ballot speaker election since 1923,
wow.
I believe, 99 years ago.
Nice.
And so if it goes to a second ballot, that's where things could get kind of interesting. You could have new candidates come forward beyond, you know, Congressman Andy Biggs, for instance, who's sort of the protest candidate on the right now. And, you know, one of the rumors is that you could see, and they talked about this openly, you know, Democrats could work with maybe centrist Republicans to try to get a consensus speaker elected, or maybe Congressman mm-hmm. Steve Scalise, the number two, could step forward as a consensus among Republicans saying, look, Kevin McCarthy doesn't have the votes, make me speaker instead. So really what McCarthy needs right now is not necessarily to get the 218, but to get to a majority. And so if he can reach some deals with some of these hardliners that are saying they're not going to support him and maybe, you know, sit out the vote or vote president and bring his threshold down, that's one way maybe everybody mm-hmm. can save face. But so, certainly because he doesn't have this locked up, it's worth noting.
Zach Cohen, thank you so much. Just love having you on with Bloomberg Government. Some real detail there and acuity on the state of Washington.